Say this, the word of God,
is
the answer. Say it one more time,
the word of God
is the answer. Let's make it personal.
The word of God
is the answer for me.
Now
turn to your neighbor. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Look at him and say,
the word of God
is the answer for you. Amen. Now, okay, here's what I'm going to do, because I'm going to be moving today. Okay, I'm going to be moving today. So to try to cut out a little time, we're going to look at our text first, a text from the Old Testament, a text from the New Testament, and then we're just going to take off. Got it? So we are talking, I want you to turn to 1 Kings chapter 17. And I want you to put your ribbon there, and then I want you to turn to John chapter 21. We're going to look at the text up front, and then we're going to come and talk to you from the subject, where are you? Are you in the wrong place? Are you in a good place? Or are you in your set place? 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 2, I'm reading from the traditional King James. They'll probably put it up on the monitor. It says, and the word of the Lord came unto Elijah, saying, get thee hence, turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belonged to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have committed a widow woman there to sustain you. So Elijah left the brook that had dried up. He went to Zarephath, gave this woman the instructions that God gave him to give her, and she obeyed the instructions. Look at verse 15 and 16. Verse 15 and 16. It says, and she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. And she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruel of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. Now that's our Old Testament text. I want you to turn now to John chapter 21. I'm going to read 6 verses, and then we won't have to turn anymore. We won't have to turn anymore. Look at what it says in John chapter 21. And the question that the Holy Spirit is asking us and has been asking us for 6 lessons is, where are you? Where are you? Are you in the wrong place? Are you in a good place? Are you in set place? Look at John chapter 21, verse 1. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus and Nathanael of Cana of Galilee and the sons of Zebedee and 2 others of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. They said unto him, we also go with you. They went forth, entered into a ship, and immediately that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said unto them, children, have ye any meat? They answered him, no. Verse 6. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and you shall find. Cast your net on the right side, which tells me that they were out of alignment. So they weren't catching anything because they were out of what? Alignment. But notice what it says. They cast therefore Now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fish. Now we're talking from the subject, where are you? Where are you? Wrong place. Jonah was in the wrong place and Jonah ended up in a fish's belly. Elijah, toward the end of his ministry, was in a good place, but he ended up in a cave. Where God wants us to be is in our set place. So for just a moment, let's review and let's talk about what set place is. Number one, set place is a geographical location. It's being where God wants you to be. God spoke to Elijah and said, I want you to go down to that brook called Cherith. And he also spoke to Elijah, I want you to go to Zarephath. Set place is being where God wants you to be. It's a geographical location, but set place is also a spiritual position. A spiritual position. It is doing what God tells you to do. God told Elijah to turn eastward, he did it. God told Elijah to hide himself by the brook, he did it. God told the widow woman to feed the prophet, he did it. So set place is a spiritual position. It's doing what God tells you to do. Set place, thirdly, is a mental position. It is humbleness of mind. It is yielding to the word of God and yielding to the instructions that the Holy Spirit gives you, even when it doesn't make sense. And even when you don't want to do it, it's a humility. Set place is a spiritual position. Think about it. God told Elijah, now watch this, watch this. God told Elijah, hey, I want you to go down to this brook and I'm going to call some birds, some ravens to feed you bread and flesh in the evening, bread and flesh in the afternoon, in the morning, afternoon. What sense does that make? Who ever heard of birds bringing food to anybody? But Elijah yielded his mind even though it didn't make sense. He said, I want you to go down there and I've commanded a widow woman to take care of you. Well, everybody knows widow women in the Bible were poor. How can a widow woman take care of me? God spoke to the widow woman, said, I want you to feed the prophet. Well, how's she going to feed the prophet? She just got a little meal in a barrel, a little cruise of oil. How she's going to do it? But they obeyed. They yielded in spite of the fact that it did not make sense, even though at first she didn't want to give the prophet anything, but she yielded. That is set place. It is a mental position. But set place is also a relationship position. It is being connected to the right people who are critical to your success and fulfillment. There are people, because if you're born again, you're on a destiny path. God has a purpose and God has a plan for your life. And God has orchestrated that there are certain people that are critical for your success in life. God knows how to get you to those people. The prophet Elijah needed this widow woman. The widow woman needed Elijah. These were divine connections. Set place releases supernatural provision. When you're in your set place, it releases supernatural protection, and it positions you, watch this, it positions you to fulfill God's purpose on your life. So every Christian now, it is important that you be in your set place. Say set place. Now I want to talk today in this last lesson about set place and transition. Set place and what? Transition. By transition, I mean movement. I'm talking about changing from one place, changing from one position, changing from one stage to another. Listen carefully. I'm talking today about moving in or moving out. Moving in, and it may be relocated. It may be moving into a new area, moving out of a new area. It may be moving into a position, moving out of a position, a career position. It could be an opportunity moving in, moving out. It could be a relationship moving in, moving out. I'm talking about movement. Come on, what are we talking about?
Movement.
We're talking about movement today and guarding your set place. Movement and guarding your set place. Now, James chapter 3, verse 14 and 17 gives us some very important information. James tells us in the third chapter, verses 14 through 17, that there are three kinds of wisdom. Three kinds of wisdoms. James says that there is a wisdom from above. That's godly wisdom. James says that there is a wisdom that is devilish. And then James tells us that there is a wisdom that is earthly, and James says it is sensual. So right away, we understand that there are three kinds of wisdom. There's a godly wisdom, there's a satanic wisdom, and then there is a natural human wisdom. Now, when we understand what James is communicating to us, then we understand, watch this now, that there are three kinds of transitions. Three kinds of transitions. There is transitions influenced by God. Amen. There are transitions influenced by Satan. And then there are transitions influenced by people. God, Satan, people. It's so important to know who's influencing me. As a believer, you're supposed to be influenced by God. Now, let's talk about these three kinds of transitions. Let's talk about being transition influenced by God. Now, listen, the reason I put this transition first is because I wanted you to understand that all transition is not bad. There are times when God moves us in something. There are times when God moves us out of something. So listen at this. In 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 2 and verse 8, we know that Elijah, listen carefully, Elijah was being influenced by God. Because in verse 2 and 8, it says the word of the Lord came to him.
Right?
It says what? The word of the Lord came to him. So we know that this transition, moving to the brook, moving to Zarephath, was influenced by God. Right? I don't have time to turn to it, but I want you to write this down. Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 11 through 14, it communicates that God sometimes moves his sheep. He takes his sheep from one place and he can move his sheep to another place. It's not demonic. It's not human. It is God doing it. Sometimes God sends people to a church to be a part of the vision. It is their assignment to be a part of that church's vision. That local church is their set place. But sometimes God sends people, sheep, believers, Christians, to a place or to a church to learn certain things and to be trained. Then God will send them out. So now we have to be very careful when God sends people out. We don't need to add our two cents to it, because we don't know what God is saying to them, because God may be moving them out. Now watch this. Sometimes those that have left, God will cause them to come back. We've had people in our church that left, and for whatever reason, they came back. Don't put your two cents worth on it. Oh, I knew you were going to come back. You shouldn't have left. No, 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 no. You don't know what God said to them. You don't know why they left. Don't even worry about that, because God can move people. There are legitimate reasons why God moves people. Let me give you some legitimate reasons. Doctrinal error. If you're in an environment, let's say a church environment, and it's a lot of doctrinal error, then God often will move his sheep out of that setting. Sometimes God will move his sheep because of unconfessed sin in the leadership. For example, if a pastor falls into sin and that pastor refuses to repent, refuses to get support, refuses to get counsel, refuses to get help, then oftentimes God will begin to shift those sheep and move those sheep out of that setting. But I've also seen pastors who fall, who repent, they move themselves for a season, they get counsel, and then God put them back and the church moves on. So sometimes it's God moving people for a certain reason. And then there are personal situations like job transfers, military assignments, and graduations. Just personal situations where people are moving. Now, here's the critical thing. Here's the critical thing that we have to get. We have to remember this because it is critical that you be where God wants you to be. And it's critical to your destiny that you be doing what God wants you to do. So listen very carefully. As a believer, you cannot be just making transitions out of your emotions. Are you listening to me? And you can't be led, don't be led by your circumstances. Listen carefully now. Even though, watch this now, even though the brook dried up, Elijah didn't just take off going somewhere. He waited on the Lord. Got it? And then the word of the Lord came back to him again. Don't be led by opportunities. Not all opportunities are good opportunities. You're supposed to be led by God. Now listen carefully, listen carefully. This is very important because many Christians are out of alignment. Many churches are out of alignment. We understand when your car, the tires on your car are out of alignment, it causes that car to shake, pull to a certain way, you can't handle it. You understand what I'm saying? Tires wear out. Many Christians are wearing out because they are out of alignment. Now listen carefully before we go to the next one. Listen carefully. The scripture, here's what the scripture says in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. It said, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And then it says, lean not to your... Now listen to verse 6. It says, in all your ways, all your ways. Come on, say it. All your ways, all your ways, all your ways. When you're choosing a job, choosing a mate, choosing a relationship, choosing a church, it says, in all your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your path. The Bible says in Psalm 32:8, listen what it says. God says, I will instruct you. I will teach you in the way that you should go. Listen what he says, and I'll guide you with my eyes. You see, God's vision is much better than ours. We can see up to the hill driving, but we can't see on the other side. God can see up to the hill and on the other side. We can see up to the corner, but we can't see around the corner. God can see around the corner. God sees the past, the present, and the future all at the same time. God knows your purpose. He knows the plans he has for you. He knows where you're going to be, what you need to be doing 5 years, 10 years from now. Many times we make now decisions because we don't understand purpose, because our purpose is evolving. We know a little bit here, a little bit there. But God knows our purpose. So God will tell us the end from the beginning. Does that make sense to you? In other words, this is all I'm saying. God is smarter than you. You got that, didn't you? That made sense to you. God is what?
Smarter.
He's smarter than me. God is smarter than us. So why would you move without talking to him? Why would you marry somebody without talking to him? Why would you take a job without talking to him? Why would you quit this without talking to him? God is smarter than you. Come on, point at yourself. Come on, point at yourself. Because God is smarter than me. Now listen, listen. There's a second kind of transition. Boy, we don't want this kind of transition. That is a transition influenced by Satan. The Bible says in John 13:2. Listen carefully. It says that Satan put it in Judas' heart to betray Jesus. Here's a man, Judas, called into ministry, fortunate enough to be in the 12, the apostles, in his set place. But you have to understand that the devil knows how important it is for you to be in your set place. The devil also knows how important it is for your church or the body of Christ for you to be in the right place. So even though you may be in the right place, Satan is going to be working to try to push you outside of your set place. And he was successful with Judas. He was successful, unfortunately, with Judas. And whenever our decisions and our movement is influenced by the devil, bad stuff gonna happen. The guy hanged himself, the Bible says. He committed suicide. So there are tactics that Satan uses sometimes to move Christians out of their set place. Number one, he used our feelings, our emotions. He used offense, hurt, rejection. He used all those different kinds of things to get people offended so they'll get outside of their set place. Sometimes Christians fall, they sin, and the devil tell them, don't go back to church. Don't be a hypocrite. Why? He don't want them in their set place. Because when you fall, you should run to God and not from him. Satan also used the flaws, the personal weaknesses of leadership. See, all of us, look at me. Every leader, I don't care who he is, every leader got weaknesses. All of us got flaws. It'd be great if God could use some perfect folk, but he doesn't have any. So he have to use us. So Satan will try to magnify the imperfections and the weakness of leadership to move you outside of your set place. Sometimes he will try to use disgruntled and discontented others. That's why the Bible said, make no friendship with an angry man. If you start hanging around folk that are discontented, you're going to end up discontented. Sometimes Satan will use distractions, all kinds of distractions, and then he'll use preferences. Remember the man I told you about? God told him that this was his church, but he didn't like our music. So sometimes he'll use preferences, he'll use music, he'll use denominationalism, he used race, he used program. Think about all the people who choose a church because of the program. Don't say anything to God. Don't even talk to God. So Satan sometimes is influencing our movement. And then thirdly, the third transition is people. Can I talk to you for a minute? Come on, say, talk to me. Let me talk to you for a minute. Sometimes believers are just following folk. Sometimes people are following people. Remember our text over in John chapter 21? In our text, John chapter 21, listen carefully. Peter said, I'm going fishing. Now, when he said, I'm going fishing, he wasn't talking about a Saturday evening on the Lake James, okay? He's saying, I'm leaving ministry. I'm going back to what I used to do. Why? Because they thought it was all over. Jesus had died. They hadn't met him after the resurrection. So he said, I'm going back fishing. Six other guys, grown people, said, we're going too. We're going too. And the Bible said that night they caught nothing. Next morning, Jesus on the shore, they didn't know it was the Lord. He said, hey guys, did you catch anything? They said, nothing. He said, cast your net on the right side. What is he talking about? He ain't talking about fish. He's not talking about fish. He's sending a message, y'all out of alignment. Cast your net on the right side. Bible says they cast a net and couldn't even drag all the fish in. Now here's, I want to make 2 points. And then after I want to give you an exit strategy. Say exit strategy. Now listen carefully. I want to make 2 points. People that mean well can unknowingly influence you to move outside of God's purpose for you. Now, if you're taking notes, you need to write that down. People that mean well can unknowingly influence you to move outside of God's purpose. Key words, unknowingly. People, said people. Now, these may be people that you know, people that you respect, people that you admire, or it may be people that admire you and people that respect you. People, said people. It may be people that you have a relationship with. It may be people that you are related to. Say people. 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 There may be friends of yours. Maybe people that you enjoy being with. Say people. I'm saying that people can unknowingly, they don't intend to, unintentional, unknowingly influence you to move outside of God's purpose for your life. Now, listen carefully. Peter was the leader of the 12. If you read the gospel, every time it talks, Peter, James, and John, he's always mentioned first, and the Holy Spirit is letting us know that Peter had influence. The other disciples were looking up to Peter. Got that? Peter also had a relationship with James and John. Luke chapter 5 verse 10 tells us that they were in a fishing partnership. In other words, they had a fishing business. Now, these men, seven grown men, they are Jesus' disciples. All seven of them are Jesus' disciples. Now watch this. All seven of them had been called into ministry full time. They had been called into their purpose. Jesus died. They thought it was over. And Peter said, listen, talking about influence now. Peter said, hey, I'm going back to what I used to do. I'm going back to fishing. And all six of these grown men that had been called into their purpose, watch this. They left their purpose following Peter. Peter didn't talk to the Lord, and not all six of them didn't talk to the Lord, and the Bible says they caught nothing. See, here's the bottom line. Who are you following? Come on, man. You could be saved and not be following God. Who are you following? Who talking to you? Who influencing your decisions? Any kind of decision, whether it's church, whether it's marriage, whether it's career, whatever it is, who is influencing you? Who is it? Is it God? Is it the devil? Or is it just people? Am I talking to anybody here? Does anybody hear me? Which leads me to my second statement. God is not obligated to resource your people-led decisions. He's not obligated to resource your people-led decisions. They followed Peter and they caught nothing. So many Christians, I feel so sorry for us sometimes. I feel sorry for God. And I feel sorry for us because a lot of us are not spending time with God. We're not talking to God. We either following people or following our emotions. We're in a time where it's critical that you be where God wants you to be, doing what God wants you to do, and yielding to the Spirit of God. Am I making sense to anybody? I want to cover two things, and it ain't going to take me long to do it. Cover two things. I want to talk about an exit strategy. How do you leave something? And it's particular, how do you leave a church? I mean, how do you leave a church? You got to be listening carefully. I shared this with the first service, and after I shared, a couple came up to me, and they told me, they said, Pastor, I know this is my set praise. But they said, I didn't leave right. They said, I didn't leave my last church right. And I said, well, you just go on back there and talk to them. And then you come on back. Now, I told my wife about that. And she said, well, she said, son, now some preachers you go back to them. They ain't nice. Okay, but watch this. It's not their response. It's you doing the right thing. so that you can go on. So let me give you this right quick. I'm going to say something about race relationships, and then we're going to be out of here, okay? We're going to be out of here. Come on, say, we're going to be out of here. Now watch this. Let me give you some considerations when you think about moving. And even if you're thinking about moving Faith Chapel, it's all right. Come on, turn to your neighbor. Say, it's all right. Come on, say, it's all right if you leave Faith Chapel. Come on, say, God, Pastor's not going to be mad at you. Okay, let me give this right quick. Watch this. Number one, pray diligent through the issues and get God's mind on the matter. Don't just move. Pray what? Through the issues and get God's mind on the matter. Number two, never leave with unresolved issues. Anger, bitterness, unforgiveness. Don't ever leave like that. God is never going to move you like that. Take time and work through some of those issues. Talk to people, confront people, get it out of you. Tell people what they did to you. Tell them that they hurt. Get it all out of you. Don't ever leave a place with unresolved issues, because when you transition, those issues still with you. Okay, number three, listen at this. Always do your best to inform those in authority that you're leaving, either by in person, letter, or other means, about your decision. Do not go AWOL. Okay? It is dishonorable, it is disrespectful, and it is immature to be connected to some and just leave and say nothing to nobody. That is leaving the wrong way. How many of you are a member of a family? You're part of a family. Let's say you're going to relocate somewhere, you don't just disappear. The church is a family. You don't just disappear. Number four, don't make a scene or production out of your leaving. You ain't got to make a scene, you going, just go. Don't make a scene. Number five, when you leave, leave. You know something going on, and then you call them back, hey, what they doing down there? What's going on down there? No. You left, leave. Next, do not say negative things to others in the church, and do not try to influence them to follow you. Now, listen carefully. If you are discontented and you start sharing to other people in the church, you're sowing discord. Okay? And you shouldn't try to get them to follow you, because if they follow you, they're hearing your voice, and now you got to be their source. No, you want them to follow God, because God may be dealing with you to leave, but he may be dealing with them to stay. Okay. Next, leave in such a way that your good godliness will be exemplary and you will be missed and you will be welcomed back. You know, my mama and dad, they used to always say, you better leave the house right, because one day you may want to come back. That's true, period. You want to leave in a godly way so that you, when you're gone, you'll be missed and welcome back. We've had people leave our church. We have people leave. We have people come back. And they serving in the ministry. Why? Because it wasn't a big deal. I never thought there was anything wrong with them. I never thought that they were traitors. I never felt bad about it. It wasn't about me. I don't know what God said to them. So they say, I came back. I'm here. I'm happy to see you. So they function and go. They didn't have to crawl up to the altar. And they didn't have to go back through the numerous class. They didn't have to do none of that. Why? Because I leave that to God. And you leave it to God, too. You don't know why people leave. You don't know why they come back. And don't put your mouth on it. Just be happy to see you. Oh, so good to see you. And leave it at that. Does that make sense to you? Don't be a carrier of negativity to your next church or talk against your former church or pastor. Okay. If you come to me, and I've had people in our church, they stand in line, because I stand in line after their sermon, and they say, they're glad to be here, and then they're going to talk against their pastor, their former church. No. I stop them in a minute. That is a character flaw. For you to be somewhere, go somewhere else, and talk against where you were. I say, now go back and talk to your pastor. You straighten that out with your pastor, because that ain't important to me. I'm glad you're here. You said God brought you here. I'm glad you're here. But you don't need to tell me some negative about your church, because that was the body of Christ. In other words, it's like kicking your stomach and then going somewhere and joining the leg. Now, some of y'all are going to get that next week. You're going to get that next week. Okay? See, the body is one. It's not separate bodies of Christ. It's just one. So you can't kick your stomach and then join the leg church and be all right. Y'all didn't get that. So, okay, let me give you something else. Let me help you along the way. Okay. How many of you really love your third grade teacher, fourth grade teacher, elementary school teacher? How many remember somebody in elementary school? Okay, watch this. You didn't go to high school, and once you got to high school, you start talking against your third grade, fourth grade teacher. That would be dumb, wouldn't it? You honor your third and fourth grade teacher, right? Why? Because they gave you some basics. They contributed to your growth. So you honor them, so you never leave somewhere and talk against it. If they only taught you one verse, they contributed to your spiritual growth. It's a dishonorable act to leave one place, go to another place, and then throw rocks at the place that you were at. Because if you were there, that meant you thought it was either worth being there or you were just stupid. Now, you'll get that tomorrow, too. So don't be a carrier of negativity. And then finally, thank God. And be appreciative of the things you learn in every place. So, precious people, listen to me. I'm glad you're here, okay? I'm glad you're here. But if you came here and you did any of those things, you didn't leave right, you make that right. You call that pastor or call that church or set up a meeting with that church and you tell them, I did not leave right. And I want to ask you to forgive me. And I had a couple walk up to me after service. It was beautiful, beautiful. They said, Pastor, I know I'm supposed to be here, but they said, we didn't leave right. We didn't leave our last church right. And I said, well, go on, talk to them. Go on, straighten that out. And then come by. Why is that so important, precious people? Come on. It's maturity. It's growing up. Can I tell you one last thing? You know I'm going to tell you anyway, right? Okay. Let me tell you one last thing, and I'm through. I hope you got some out of this. Listen at this. I can't deal with this today. But we got to deal with it. We got to deal with race relations in the church. Okay? We got to deal with race relations in the church. The church is primarily segregated along racial lines. God told me two things about that. He told me, don't be prejudiced. And then he told me it needs to be dealt with in the church. Now listen carefully. I'm just 3 minutes away from quitting. Listen carefully. The church is out of alignment when it comes to race relations. Okay? James 3:17 says, the wisdom that is from above, now listen carefully, is without partiality. That means it's unbiased, unprejudiced. Listen carefully. When believers are led by the wisdom from above and not by culture, skin color, or comfort, there will be no prejudice, racism, or division in the body of Christ. Because prejudice is a spirit of division, and prejudice, regardless whether you're black, white, red, yellow, brown, it is a spirit of division, and it is a sin. So we've got to get in alignment that area. Well, I'm through. Did you get anything out of it? What? How many got at least one thing, at least one thing, at least one thing, at least one thing, at least one thing?